I think we're going to start over in Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to continue on the series of kind of where the imagery that God's been pushing on me. It's when one of those things where, you know, you know things, but then it becomes even clearer. And it's getting clearer and clearer to the point that I'm embarrassed that I never knew it as well as I'm beginning to see it. Colossians chapter 3. When you're born again, you receive a new nature from God. That new nature brought you from death to life. You were already dead. You were born in a species that are already dead. That death does not mean like not breathing. It means they live in death, in darkness. The human race was born as a dead species, a species of darkness. But praise the Lord, when you accepted Jesus, you received that new nature. How far have we come? I was saying, thank God for the born-again trail. You know, I just said what I said, and you understood it. Where when I first started, I really thought I had a little Jesus running around inside of me. In my heart, I had a little room, a bedroom, and a kitchen, and Jesus lived in there. And how far have we come? So you received a new nature. That new nature is a nature. Every creature is born with a nature. There's a human nature. There's a dog nature, a cow nature, and the species that you're born to, you receive the nature that comes with it. That is how nature works. Don't ask a cat to act like a dog, and don't ask a dog to act like a duck. Every nature of every species is different. You say amen if you're still with me. So you were born into a species called the human race, a species of darkness. Darkness does not mean evil. It means darkness. That's the source of its life, is darkness. That's the species you were born into. God loved you so much. See, remember in Genesis where God breathed into Adam? See, that was him breathing the life of God into a seed called Adam. And that seed called Adam had the ability to reproduce new creatures after the same species. That was the power of that breath. That's where you came from. You came from that breath. So you, say me. I want you to see that. You, when the Bible talks about the salvation of your soul, he's not talking about your mind, will, and emotions. He's not trying to save the, you know, I'm trying to save your emotions, your mind, your feelings. That's not the salvation of your soul. When it says soul there, it means you. The salvation of you. See, you came from that breath. You actually technically came from that breath of God. God created you in that essence. He didn't choose you, but you came from that breath. Every seed in existence has the power to reproduce. So you want to be farmers who have little, you know, you have a little garden in your backyard and you fertilize and take good care of it. My dad used to be a farmer. Then we put him in the city and he became a wannabe farmer. I mean, he had a little tractor for his little yard and would go out and plow, and he'd have a little garden. He was sure he was going to reproduce something to eat in his little garden and drive all the neighbors crazy. Well, you know that if you take, you don't have to pray, bless, anoint with holy water a seed for it to reproduce. All you do is plant it, and that seed reproduces into its own kind. How many have experienced that? How many wannabe farmers do we have here? You got things growing on your porch. You got things growing in your backyard. You got things planting. You don't kill it. To be a wannabe farmer means you can't kill it. You got to eat something. I'm so far, we've tried, but we kill it all before we get a chance to eat it. And so we gave up. But you don't have to pray over a carrot seed or a tomato seed for it to grow. How many know that it has the power within itself to reproduce? You plant it and water it, and somehow that tomato seed has an image inside of it. If you were able to slice it in half and look inside of it, there'd be a little image of a tomato plant, a full image of a tomato plant fully grown inside that seed. You can't see it, but it's there. How do you find out? Well, you plant it in the ground, and it begins to take water, and somehow, that little seed has in it the image that it takes minerals from the ground, the right minerals from the ground, and sucks it through the image and pushes out a tomato plant that produces tomatoes with the exact same seed inside of it to reproduce. That's the power of the seed. It only produces after its own kind. You don't plant a tomato plant and get a cucumber. You know, you can pray over it. You can curse the tomato in it and say, "Cucumber, come forth, and you are going to get a tomato plant." Because the image in the seed is a full-grown tomato plant. How amazing. Like, you ever had sweet corn? They have corn. They have, like, corn that's good, but some places you eat it and it's sweet. It's got, like, sugar. How did that corn seed know to take the right minerals out of the ground to make sugar? It's amazing. That's the power of the seed, that it takes from the ground, it takes from the nutrients, and it runs through the image, and out comes what's inside of the seed. Now, when God breathed into Adam, he gave Adam the power of a seed to reproduce. That's where babies come from. We had one couple in our old church where they believed that you had as many children as God wanted you to have. And, you know, they came from those roots. And I remember because he was getting exhausted. He was working so hard. She was getting exhausted. They had, every year, a new kid. And they started to fill up the church, just 1 inch taller in every chair. And they were good parents. They dressed their kids well, and the kids were behaved. But they were getting a little exhausted. I think they were at 9 or 10 at that time. And they were young. You know, I think she was pregnant more than she was been alive almost. And so I talked to him. I said, "Well, you know, dude, you can stop having kids for a while. Just stop having kids. You know, you don't have to work yourself." Because he wasn't, his business was handyman, so he didn't make abundance of finances. He had to work hard. And they said, "Oh, no. No, no, no. God chooses how many kids we have." I said, "Well, wait a minute." I said, "Sir, if you go to bed at night, you sleep in one bedroom, and ma'am, if when you go to bed at night, you sleep in another bedroom, will we have any more children?" "Well, no." "Well, then you have something to do with this. See, children come into existence by the will of a man and a woman. Children come into existence from that choice. They never existed before. We created, me and my wife, we created two creatures that never existed before. And we brought them, by our choice, into existence. And we created two creatures who are going to live for eternity. They will never be extinguished. Their existence will never be extinguished. We created that by the will of man. That's the power of the seed. If you wonder why God loves man, people, humans so much, it's because he takes a little bit of responsibility for each one that came into existence from that breath. And he's out to rescue us from the pathway of darkness that that Adam put us on the moment he sinned. So you were born in a species of darkness. I don't like to use death because when we say dead, we think of a dead animal on the side of the road that stinks. So a better term would be darkness. But it is dead. It's death. It's from death. It oozes death. It oozes darkness. but is still in existence. That's because Adam, the seed of God, when he sinned, the nature of God turned into the nature of darkness. So you were born by the will of your parents. You came in existence that moment. The only reason you were able to come into existence was because we call the law of Genesis. And God breathed into Adam and started the law of Genesis. If you plant it, it will grow. You will reproduce. A whole species, billions of people, souls, born into a family of darkness to live their existence on this earth for 80, 100 years, to have their natural body drop off of them and they stand in there and going to end up in hell in the lake of fire for eternity because of Adam's sin. Had no choice. They were born into a nature, a family with a nature of darkness. So in this human race that were born with a nature of darkness, from the breath of God, Adam took the family that God had planned to reproduce after his own kind, to live forever. Do you know we were never supposed to see heaven? You were never supposed to go to heaven. God's plan was for us to never die. We were supposed to live forever. We were never supposed to go to hell. Hell was not made for man. It was made for sin. But when Adam sinned, he destined every human born to go to hell. So every person designed by God comes after Adam, the design that he made with Adam, the original seed. Adam was designed to live in both worlds at the same time, the natural world and the spiritual world. That's why he could talk to God, fellowship with God, see God, touch God, and then also pet the dog or the wolf and the cow and eat. He was equally involved with both worlds, both realms, the natural realm and the spiritual realm, because that's the way he was created, with an inner man connected to the spiritual world and an outward body connected to the outside world. All of them were supplied by a generator, a battery called the nature of God that was inside of them. It was a nature of light. He was completely light from the inside to the outside. Every thought, every emotion was light. And that was the argument that the devil brought towards him. Adam, you think you're free, but you're really under control because you don't even know darkness. You don't even know evil. How are you able? You can't even choose between good and evil because you don't know evil. So how are you even to choose? You're under control. You should be your own man, Adam, and then choose good. And this was the temptation, not deception, for Adam. Adam willingly chose pride, the power to choose. That's why when you start praying in tongues, that's the first fight of your natural man, because you start telling your natural man, you no longer get a voice of choice in my life, in my future. God's will gets to be done, not your will. Talking to your natural man. And that's when the natural man begins to fight you. Say amen if you're still with me. So then you were of a human race that had a nature of darkness, an inner body of darkness, and an outward body of darkness. Now think about this. When a Christian passes away, where do they go? It's not a trick question. Heaven. And how do they go to heaven? What do they look like? Are they a little ghost, a little cloud, a little soul, like a nature, like just a nature? What do they look like? And see, one day I'll be preaching. I give myself 100 years, I'll be preaching. And I'll be pointing my finger and preaching mean, because when you're old, you preach mean. People like it when you're old and you preach mean, you can get away with it. And I'll be pointing my finger in the crowds and go, oh, and I'll wonder why. And it'll be because my body fell off of me. But I'll still be standing there because I have an inner body too. How many can agree with that? Yes. You have an inner man and an outward man. And inside that inward body, now let's just look at that. Here I am standing there. I'm still standing there. I got my finger. I'm still looking at it. But on the ground is my natural body. Now, can you imagine being a wife of a Christian man who passes away and the doctor calls you up, says, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I have some bad news. What's so bad? I mean, my husband's dead. What's worse than that? Well, I just completed the autopsy. And unfortunately, ma'am, his brain, he left his brain in his skull. So I'm afraid, I know you're a Christian, you believe he's in heaven, I agree, but he's in heaven without his brain. So he's one of the dumb ones up there, I guess, I don't know. And I also notice his hands are here, so I don't know how he's going to lift up holy hands in heaven, because his hands are here on the earth. See, that sounds silly to you, but you have to understand this if you're really going to understand what the pathway that God has for us to walk in the fullness of Christ. Of course, you're going to have hands in heaven. You won't have natural hands, you'll have spiritual hands, inner man hands. So that tells you that your inner man is just like the outward man. The inward body is designed to live in the spiritual realm, to connect you to the spiritual realm, and will carry you into heaven until he's able to give you a new outward body. Notice that you are getting a new outward body. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, if you're on this earth, boom, you have a new outward body. So God isn't trying to fix this outward body. I'm not talking about sickness and healing. He's not interested in educating and training the outward body, because the natural man understands the things of this world. So here you are, you come to the altar. You have an inner man and you have an outward man that's going to fall off of you one day. And you have a nature of darkness that generates darkness into the inner man and the outward man. Say amen if you're still with me. And you come to the altar and you kneel down before Jesus and you accept Jesus into your heart. We know that you received a new nature. The nature came from the resurrected Jesus. He's the firstborn of many brethren. That means that you're not born again after baby Jesus. You're born again after resurrected Jesus. And you receive that nature. That nature is powerful. It is what's got, it is your ticket to eternity with God. So in the moment that you are born again, whether you realize it or not, you receive the nature of light, of life, the very nature of God, the very nature of Christ. You receive that for the first time. And it replaced the old nature of darkness that you were given from Adam. So now you have a new nature. That new nature is light. And basically, you never tasted life, light, until the moment you got born again. When Harrison was born, we remember him catching his first breath. Because they don't breathe until they come out. They turn them upside down and give a little pat. And the baby gets angry and takes a, and out comes the cries of a baby. Well, that's the very first breath of oxygen. Before you were saved, you never tasted light or life or love. You never tasted it, because those are things of spiritual things that come only from God. Mankind, even though God is love, mankind couldn't experience his love until they were born again. Because the natural man cannot understand the love of God. So let me just stop right there. So I want you to see that when you're born again, you receive the nature. That nature is a seed. Inside of a seed, it's complete. You don't take the seed of the tomato, plant it. You don't have to take it back to the original plant to get more of the tomato. It's all complete in the seed. The seed itself is complete. The image inside the seed is already complete once it comes off of the fruit. I'm saying that because when you're born again, inside of you, that new nature is a complete image of Jesus Christ in all of his glory. That is already inside of you. And that's why the word says you are complete in him. Maybe you've done this. You've got born again and the preacher said, you're complete in him now. Glory to God. And you, amen. You went home and found out, why do I still want to do these things that aren't godly? You come to the altar. I'm complete in you, God. I'm complete in you. Make all this garbage go away. And then you were puzzled why the word said you're complete. And then you found yourself incomplete, struggling. Preaching I heard in my early years, you're complete in God. You have all of him right now. You just have to walk in it. Amen. Well, I was excited about that because it was so much easier to go out and witness to you than it was to deal with my own self. I'd rather go learn to hear God to prophesy to you than to hear God to prophesy to me. You may get that next week. Go and let's go and do the preaching I heard. The first letters of God are G-O. The last two letters of God are D-O. Go and do. Go, get out of the church seat. The church isn't in the building. You're the church. I heard this 30 years ago. God excited. Go out and pray for the sick. Preach and prophesy and go out. And off we went. In the name of God, praying for people and seeing some people healed, but seeing many not healed. Remember talking to one old-timer man that I respected who was raised up in church and had decided he was no longer content or impressed by much of the way the church was operating. And I remember talking about a revivalist, a church, a famous ministry that had miracles on TV, and they'd have testimonies on TV, all the people, wheelchairs healed, deaf people healed. And I remember talking to him in a positive way. Man, isn't that amazing that God can do that? And he said to me, Alan, I've been in their services. He said, one time I went and I sat on the second row and I went to the bathroom and they had a person come and sit down while I went to the bathroom so that the cameras would always show a full crowd. He said, don't always believe what you see on TV. He said, here's what he said, the way he said to me, I'm happy that the people got healed. I got healed. But Alan, do you know how many people were left in their wheelchairs that didn't get healed? How many people left the crowd deaf and blind who came there with a hope, left there disappointed? And I remember back then thinking, you're just negative Ned. Like, come on, look at the positive. But what I've learned was when you see the fullness of God, everything else is lacking. And you're not there till you have the fullness of God, if I can put it that way. And don't be too disappointed if you are not there yet, because nobody is there yet. And so now as I'm learning more about transformation and learning more about the inward man and the outward man, I'm beginning to see the importance of what we've always been taught, to pray in tongues, to worship God privately, to fast, to meditate and confess the word of God. I can see why the Holy Ghost never allows us to go beyond that message. So you now come to the altar and you find Jesus. What did you get? You got a new nature. There's a man who was in Canada. He was shoveling the snow. If you don't know what that means, it means it snows a lot and you have to get out and shovel it sometimes every day, every couple of days, so it doesn't turn to ice and then you're in trouble. And he was out shoveling the snow and had a heart attack. And in that moment he had a heart attack. Praise God, a couple of paramedics were walking by and they brought him back from death. But in the time he was dead, he said he had an experience that he went to heaven. And he was walking around heaven for those few moments that he had actually died on this earth. Now let's stop and just think about that. Here he was. Let's say he was a typical Christian. Let's say he was opinionated, maybe a little bit touchy in some area, a little stingy, a little jealous, but he's born again. So he's out shoveling the snow and he's upset that he's shoveling the snow and he's under his breath, maybe saying a curse like stupid blankety blank snow. And that moment he has a heart attack and his body, his natural body falls off of him. And there on the ground, you'll find his heart, his hands, and his brain are all right there. But now instantly he is with the Lord because he's born again in heaven. His new nature is what allows him to go to heaven. What does he look like in heaven? Would you recognize him? See, he's in his inward body, so you'll recognize each other when you get to heaven. He's not brainless. His intellect, his memories are still there. But yet, is there any sadness? Is there any sorrow? Where's that jealousy? Where's the envy that he had just a split second before? Where is it now? Well, it's laying there in the snow because that is the source of insecurity, the source of fear, the source of envy, strife, jealousy, is his natural body. But yet in heaven, he's standing there in his inner body, and all that's in him is love, joy, peace, because that is been brought to life by the inner new nature. The new nature is in your inner body. And that new nature, generator of life, brought to life your inner body and left to death your outward body. Say amen if you're still with me. This is very important to understand this imagery. It will help you interpret so much of the New Testament and help you to get rid of excuses and blame. Because when I heard messages of, well, you have everything that Jesus is, go walk in it. It worked when people got healed. I got testimonies of deaf people being healed when I was 18 years old. But it also didn't work all the time. And see, I was being taught how to walk in the gifts of God, but not walk in the love of God. Before you're born again, Gary talked incredible message this morning. You need to hear it. It's kind of a foundational message for what's coming up. But he brought an example of a man who has an orphanage to help the parentless children find a home. And I don't know the whole story, but basically in the interview with the television station, he had said, yeah, I want to make sure I got angry at the church or angry that the church was saying that they had love and we don't. I want the church to know that we are as capable as atheists to show love to orphans. Something along that lines. So he had a name for it. I'm going to give it a nickname. Orphanage for Parentless Children by the Love of Atheists. And let's stop there and let's say he is a man of love, that his whole incentive isn't to just stick it to God's people, but to, because he cares about the little orphans, but isn't a Christian. Let's say that's from love. My question is, here he is, an unsaved and announced, proudly, not born again man, an atheist, don't believe in God, doing a work of compassion, a work of love, raising money, giving money to help orphans who don't have parents to feed them, to clothe them, to help educate them, because he believes that children need to have love. My question to you is, where does that love come from? Orphanage for parentless children by the love of atheists. Where does that love that he has, compassion, to feed the poor, to help the orphans, where is the source of that love coming from? The world of darkness, from the world of man. The world of man has a type of love, but it's in the natural man. It's like it's chemically based. They did a study with why Netflix is so addictive to people, where they watch a bunch of videos. It's because it releases endorphins, a kind of a high. It can release a chemical that makes you feel good about yourself. The natural man has ability to give you a peace, emotions of peace, give you excitement, give you a love, a joy, a peace, a comfort. That's all from the natural man, the world of darkness. So let's say, since Gary brought it up, he's preaching good, and that man comes and visits the church, sees a miracle, gets his heart right, comes to the altar, gets born again. The man who started orphanage for parentless children. I know it's kind of redundant. Orphanage for parentless children by the love of an atheist. He comes and repents and accepts Jesus in his heart. In that moment, he receives a new nature. That new nature brought to life the inner man, but it left the outward man to darkness. So he comes back the next Sunday, and he makes an announcement. I have an announcement I want to make, and he gets with the TV station. I want to repent in front of all of Tulsa. I reported that the love of humanism is as good as the love of God. I've tasted the love of God recently, and I believe in Jesus now. So I am announcing and making this public. I'm changing the name from the orphanage of parentless children by the love of atheists. I'm changing the name. It's now called Orphanage for Parentless Children by the Love of Christians. What changed in the 1 week that he got born again? Is just because you put Jesus at the end of what you do, does that make it Jesus is the source? And this is the religion. You've heard me talk about the two trees, one of religion, one of the spirit. This is where religion can work through your outward man as a Christian, and you remain as a little infant in the knowledge of spiritual knowledge, and you do good things in the name of God, but it's still out of the source and power of your natural man. I was worshiping one time. It was before Harrison was born. We had an office. We weren't thinking ahead. So we bought our house. We had a guest room and an office. Got the office all set up, and we were pregnant. And then realized, oh, we got to take the office and turn it into a nursery. So we had to redo it. Well, I was in the nursery before Harrison was born. And I remember I was just laying on the floor and just worshiping. I love you. I worship you. I magnify you. I was just saying, I love you. I worship you. I wasn't feeling anything. And as I was worshiping, all of a sudden I heard, when I said, I love you, I heard, I love you more. My Lord, I just heard Jesus talk to me. And he said, I love you more. I mean, that's all, that usually annoys me when someone does that. I love you more. Like, how do you know you love me more? You're probably right, but how do you know? But Jesus said to me, I love you more. And it was just, I was in awe. I said, oh, I love you. I worship you. I glorify you. And I just kept going on. I was so excited. And every time I said, I love you, I heard, I love you more. It was an amazing, amazing experience. I left that thinking, I just poked a glory hole into heaven. I reached through the clouds of darkness and touched God himself, and he spoke to me, and the Lord corrected me, and he showed me an image, and here's what he showed me. He showed me standing in my natural man, and there was a thick curtain of flesh, like I could see through it, but there was a curtain of flesh right there, and you could poke it. It had like little hairs sticking out and little bumps and pores, and you could poke it. It kind of bounced back, and it was a curtain of flesh. And then on the other side of the curtain of flesh was my inner man. And there inside, my inner man was sitting with Jesus. And every time I saw my inner man say, "I love you," Jesus said, "I love you more." And my inner man, of course, was beyond blessed. But here I was on the outside, and I couldn't feel anything. And what the Lord showed me was, oh, no, 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 you didn't open the door for heaven to come down or you to go to heaven. When you worship me, every time you separate to worship me, I meet with you. You just got close enough to the flesh to overhear the conversation that was going on the whole time. So you may not feel it or know it or understand it, but you cannot take 10 minutes and worship God in private. I love you. And you and your inner man are not experiencing the very presence of God. On the outside, if you're looking through and feeling through your outward man, you'll be like, oh, another hour down, worshiping God. Why does he torture me so? I love you. I love you. Nothing. He hates me. Doesn't even say thank you. But what's happening is you are only seeing through your natural eyes. So when you hear the word transformation, this is what you need to see, is you, the soul that God's trying to save, have a natural man that has a mind and emotions, and you have a spiritual man, an inner body. They're conjoined twins that has a mind and emotions. And the job of a Christian is to renew the inner man's knowledge of God. Now it can learn the very things of God, experience the very love of God, not just experience it, but cultivate the very love of God. But the outward man can never understand love, can never understand holiness, can never understand righteousness, because God's the father of your spirit, not the father of your flesh. Your outward man's thinking understands God of the Old Testament, a God where God had to work with men who were unsaved, work with a family of darkness. He had to teach them how to walk with him. The outward man understands that kind of religion because it puts it in control. I can have more of God if I do good and less of God if I do bad. But I can choose. I choose how much of God I want in my life. That's why the outward man can experience God as an unsaved person would. Let's go to Romans. I'll come back over to Colossians here in a bit. Romans chapter 8, verse 10. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now hold your finger there and come with me over to Colossians chapter 3, also in verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. See, you have the image of you. That's the new nature. When you see the word image, when you see the word righteousness, when And you see the word spirit in some cases. Some cases the word spirit means new nature. Some cases the word spirit means the Holy Spirit. Some cases the word spirit means demonic spirit. Some cases the word spirit means the inner man, the inner body. So chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So the image of Christ is the new nature. And inside of that image is a complete image of Jesus in all of his glory, all of his authority, and all of his holiness. It is righteousness itself. And that brought to life your inner man. So now your inner man, your spiritual man, the unsaved people who aren't born again, they have an inner body. That's why when they die, they live forever in that inner body. But theirs is powered by a nature of darkness. Yours is now powered by a nature of life. What that means is all the knowledge you'd learned from zero to whatever day it was you were born again was from the nature of darkness. You understood darkness. You understood the understanding of darkness. But then you got born again. That new nature rebooted your inner body, your inner man. Now all the knowledge it had was quickened away, wiped away clean. So now you have a new nature that's hungry, that has new nature that brought to life your inner man. Your inner man is now hungry for the things of God. It wants to know God. It wants to know love. This is who God fellowships spirit to spirit. This is who he teaches now. Now he can teach you because you're born of him. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.